we are going to be talking about attempting to answer a question that has come my way just even this week. I've titled the lesson, "I Will Remember Their Sins No More." I thought about titling it, and maybe should have, a second question or a second thing that comes from the question that was brought. Does God forgive all sins the same? Or equally, you might say. That question, would he extend the same level of forgiveness equally across the board to all sin? And so we're going to consider that this morning. It's a common question. I think it's a good question. And I appreciate that. And thought we'd get right to that. I've entitled this lesson, "I Will Remember Their Sins No More." Now, speaking of remembrance, before I forget, let me pause for just a second to give him a little promotion and commercial, if you will. Unless Kevin did that already, but we'll do it twice. Better to do it twice than not at all. I hope you'll be with us tonight as Justin Carr brings a lesson our way. From time to time in this section of the season, as we did a couple of falls ago and last spring, I think, we've asked a couple of guys especially some of the younger guys, to be willing to do that. Justin has done that. He's going to do it again, and his lesson will be tonight. I hope that you'll come for what Justin has worked hard to present to the congregation. "I will remember their sins no more." That comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. And that is one of the finest verses that I could read on any day, given day of my life. "I will remember their sins no more." That comes in a section that really starts down around verse 30 or 31. This runs up to verse 34. And that is a portion of verse 34. We'll look at it again here in a few minutes. But as I say there, I was recently asked the question, does God forgive all sins the same? Remembrance. "I will remember their sins no more." There is a blessing of memory, isn't there? And when we begin to lose the ability to remember, no one would ever again have to explain to us the blessing of memory. Sometimes people say, "We don't know what we had until we don't have it anymore. Don't know what you got until it's gone," was even in a song. God helps us heal by the blessing of memory. It's been said that man is a time binder. And God has given that to man, and He hasn't given that to any other of His creation. We have the ability to store up time and bind it and hold it and keep it and replay it over and over and over, almost as if it's happening at that moment and we're watching it and we're giving a play-by-play to somebody else of what's going on. Man is a time binder, and that's a blessing. It actually helps us heal over time. Our memories are sometimes what we call the spice of life. Our memory allows us to function in life, function fully. We can be a fully functioning, as somebody might say, person in life because we have a memory. And people that reach a point in life, maybe in much older years, people that reach a certain point in life where they don't have that blessing anymore, like my own father does not now, that gets into function issues. Just cannot do some of the basic things that used to be done on his own. Memory is a wonderful blessing. God also remembers. And there is a point where there are situations where God's memory is a tremendous blessing for us. Those things which God would never forget becomes our big blessing. And there are times also when God's refusal to remember is a huge blessing to us. And we'll talk about that one especially today. We remember, God remembers. Hebrews 9, Ecclesiastes 12, 2 Corinthians 5. And I could have listed a whole slide full of other references to this idea that God will remember us in judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. is what Scripture says. He'll bring every work into judgment, whether good or evil. You can go to the 2 Corinthians 5 passage and you can see that remembrance of God as it relates to judgment will be an individual remembrance rather than just kind of a passing cursory glance at a whole family or at a whole group of people and make a comparison to others and say, you all look like a pretty good bunch. But no, it's an individual remembrance, individual judgment. God will remember, and He'll bring everything He remembers into our judgment. But God also remembers other things. God also remembers the grace that we need, the help that we need. He knows the covenant that we need. And so as He remembers that, He eventually makes this promise way back through the prophet Jeremiah to His people of Israel, which extends then into His spiritual Israel, as we get into the New Testament, the people of God, the church, His spiritual Israel. And because He knows our needs, because He knows our inabilities, because He knows the covenant that we need, in Jeremiah, He prophesied, there's coming a time I will remember their sins no more. God knows what we need. He knows who He is. He remembers who we are. He remembers me. He remembers you individually. He remembers His covenant. And because God is a covenant God, He says through the prophet Jeremiah, that time is coming, well, I'll not remember. I'll purpose not to remember. I will remember their sins no more. It takes memory to bring every good work or evil work, every work period, into judgment. It takes the memory of God, and God does not forget unless He chooses to. And there's coming a time where for His spiritual house of Israel, the Lord's kingdom, God's body, the church, the ecclesia, the called out, He will choose not to remember our sins. It's an effective thing. It doesn't mean they were truly purged from the mind of God. But in effect, I will remember their sins no more. The foundation of the Christian faith is this. At the very root, at the very center, indeed the foundation of our whole faith is God's faithfulness to His promises. If God is not faithful to His promise, we're on shaky ground. If we can't know, if that's not built in, if that's not firm, if that's not our conviction that God will always be faithful to His promises, we are indeed on shaky ground as we attempt to live this life and attempt to grow spiritually and maintain that growth. And to hold fast, as Scripture uses that term and other similar terms. We're indeed on shaky ground if God does not keep His promises. People break promises. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want anybody in the room to wonder if you are raising your hand in reference to them. But has anybody ever broken a promise to you? Now, is it possible that somebody makes a promise in good faith? In all certainty at that moment, in every intention of something at that moment, with clear conscience, clean heart, absolutely means what they're saying at that time, and something out of their control takes place that changes that, the ability to keep that promise at least at a time, at least right now, or maybe at a... Is that possible? Yeah. By the way, that's why Scripture, you can see this couple of different ways and times, places in the book of Proverbs, says to be careful with the pledges you make. Early in the book of Proverbs, I want to say it's in chapter 3. I'll find it if you need to find it after service. He says, be careful with promises and pledges. That's not to make them, but understand, be careful. And he goes on and talks about why. People break promises. God doesn't. Hebrews chapter 6 reminds us that God cannot lie. It's not the only place in Scripture that's said. Numbers chapter 23, and there's another Old Testament passage I didn't have room to put up there in 1 Samuel, that God is not, it says, not like a man. He uses the same phrase in the Samuel passage as well, that God is not like man, and the rest of the verse goes on to say, because man breaks promises, God does not. Our whole foundation of faith is in a God who keeps His promises. And if we lose that, we lose it all. There's the Jeremiah 31, 34 verse. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. God has made a covenant with us. God has made a covenant with us about sin. About our sin, which was individual. About our sin, which separated us otherwise, outside of God's covenant agreement, separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. God has made a covenant with us out of His love, and God keeps His covenant. God keeps His promises. I will remember their sin no more. I beg, urge, remind, pray, ask, and other words that could come to mind along that line of thought for you not to forget the faithfulness of God. Remember the question earlier? The first slide said, I will remember their sins no more. But right under that, on that very first title slide, was the question, does God forgive all sin the same? Well, to begin to answer this question, we had to look foundationally at a God who has promised something. And then we've had to remind ourselves from Scripture that God keeps those promises that He makes. And that God's a covenant God. I want to urge you to remember the faithfulness of God. We don't go to Lamentations very often. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many of you read from Lamentations this week. I'm not saying that would not have been a good idea. We're going to look at it now just so that you can get your Lamentations in for the week. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. We sing a song straight from there. I want you to believe that. I want you to remember the God who is a covenant God, who cannot lie, who has promised, and who always keeps His promises. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He never pulls away from His covenant with His spiritual house, with His spiritual Israel, with His people, with His church. He will never pull away from that. I want you to remember that. I think people ask the question that's being asked. I think people ask that question sometimes in part because they are starting to allow their grip to slip just a little bit on the remembrance that God, as a covenant God, will always be faithful to His covenant, always be faithful to His promise. They're worried about some specific sin. And we're going to answer that this morning. But foundationally, you've got to remember that God has made a promise. Foundationally, you've got to remember that God cannot lie. Foundationally, you've got to remember that God keeps His promises and that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Yes, God remembers and brings every work into judgment. But God also, knowing our needs, knowing our weaknesses, knowing His love for us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him, that is a comparative idea, instead of His own goodness, might not perish but have eternal life, right? You believe that? I want you to believe this. Remember the faithfulness of God. So let's go to the question, does God forgive all sin equally? First thing I want to say right here is we need to keep in mind, by the way, when we ask about the forgiveness of sins, we're not necessarily talking, and the question has nothing to do with the taking away of consequences here. Please understand that my sin can be forgiven and I can then forever live after the forgiveness of that sin. I can live forever, at least on this earth, that is, for the rest of my life here, living with the consequences of that sin. There is no promise in Scripture that consequences of sin in this life are taken away just because sin has been forgiven. You and I both know, and it wouldn't take us long to name somebody. You and I all know people that are living with the consequence of some choice that was sinful. And they may live with that consequence for a short time. They may have to live with it for the rest of their life. Somebody says, I thought God could forgive that. God can forgive that, but it doesn't take away consequence here. Keep in mind, we're talking about forgiveness, not necessarily the consequences on earth. We can't answer this question without asking another question first. What is sin? Well, sin in general is anything that misses the target that God set for me. Imagine we're up here, there's a big bail out there and an archery target out there. And I'm up here shooting arrows. And I miss. I miss that bullseye. Well, somebody once said, a miss is as good as a mile. It is a narrow, any miss might as well have missed by a mile. And there's some truth in that, in spiritual matters, in that all sin, I have to say it three times to make sure you get that, all sin separates man from God. All and any separates man from God. That's what Scripture teaches. Not these sins do, these sins are small and they don't. All sin separates man from God. That's what Scripture teaches. What is sin? In that sense, are they all the same? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Not some sin, the wages of some sin is death. That's not what Scripture says. The wages of sin, period. The wages of sin, not the wages of bad sins. The wages of sin is death. And all sin separates man from God. The question gets asked sometimes about degrees of reward and punishment in eternity. It is popular to reference a couple of different passages and maybe some others as well of Scripture. But here's just two referenced from the Gospels, from Jesus, relating to the possibility of degrees of punishment. But make no mistake about it, those are degrees potentially of punishment. That does not grant any reward. Sin that remains unforgiven because I'm not in the covenant relationship with Christ. I have not been brought into that covenant. I'm not under that covenant. His promise in that covenant has not been protecting me because I haven't come to it in the first place. There is no reward outside of the covenant made with Christ. Scripture regularly uses two words put together, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Those that are not in Christ don't receive blessings from Christ. And that includes eternal matters. So don't run with excitement with a consideration of the possibility of these passages, meaning what many take them to mean. And that stands to some common sense reason for us. We understand that there is a difference in stealing a loaf of bread and mass murder. In the heart of the individual, in the societal damage, just the mindset of the whole thing, and the premeditation of something, we understand, well, aren't those kind of different? Well, of course they're kind of different in those types of ways. But understand, if we're talking and thinking on a different lesson, a different time, about the potential of degrees of punishment, that doesn't reference reward. Secondly, what sin can be forgiven? Repented sin. We've done this before because a picture may be worth a thousand words. We've done this before. In fact, I referenced it for a different matter this morning because of a verse in 1 Peter as we go through that in Bible class time. By the way, we missed a lot of you in Bible class this morning. I'm walking, and I stop. I'm going to see something. Okay, I've repented because I feel bad. I've repented because I've ceased something. No. Actually, the biblical definition of repentance goes further, and I have not repented simply because I feel bad. Being sorry does not mean I've repented. Repentance goes further. It goes deeper. It's a mindset. It's a choice moving forward. Not about something in the past. I can't do anything about that. But it certainly speaks of where I'm going from here. I'm going to see something and I'm going to turn my back on it. And in fact, to really meet the full biblical definition of repentance and the picture of it in Scripture, I'm not just going to turn my back on it. I'm going to walk further from it. And I'm going to go in an opposite direction and do different things. I have not repented because I'm sorry. That doesn't mean I've repented yet. I haven't really even repented simply by stopping if I don't turn and walk in a different direction. What sins can be forgiven? Repented sin. Sin that has ceased. A sin that makes me sick to my stomach when I think back about it. When I am somewhat in anguish over breaking the heart of God and the will of God. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. We need to learn to finish that. I didn't finish it on purpose because I wondered, can you finish that? Except you repent, what? Luke 13:3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. So there is no sin unrepented that's forgiven. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Man, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it's a section of verses which Donnie Dallin referenced this morning in Bible class, and it fit perfectly. And I said, interestingly, you would bring that up this morning because we're going to talk about it in the auditorium here in just a little bit. That's some first-class sin listed right there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 sometime, and you're going to see some categories of sin. You're going to see some behaviors that rank at the top. You're going to see some disgusting stuff. Not, he stole a loaf of bread when he was 12. You're going to see things that you say, well, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with that kind of behavior. And I wouldn't want to have anything to do with that kind of person. Why would somebody live like this? That's what's in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And what does he say? And to the church at Corinth, and such were some of you. Some of you in the church at Corinth, and such were some of you. And then there's the key word. I've got it underlined. Great, bigger font there. But you in the congregation, and such were some of you in those categories. I mean, that's Hall of Fame sin right there if you look at it. And such were some of you. But you were washed, sanctified, justified. What sin can be forgiven? Look, I chose the passage of Scripture, and there was another one I thought about from Romans, and another one from later in Corinthians, but where we're talking about the worst of the worst type of stuff. And he told the church of Corinth, that was you. I know some of you were in those specific sins in that list. And I washed you. And I sanctified you. And I justified you. Not because God winks at sin. Not because he's ever okay with it. But because he's a covenant God who keeps his promises because of their response to that sin. And such were some of you, but Please remember who God used if you're worried about some specific sin. Remember that passage in 1 Corinthians. And remember those words, "and such were some of you." And then remember that three-letter word that makes all the difference, "but." You were this, but. Look who God used for great things in Scripture. Why could He not use you with that past sin that you're worried about? Now, let me put it down as plain as I know to say it right here. If that past sin is an ongoing, continuous sin that has not been repented from, you need to be worried. We need to have a conversation, or the elders need to sit down with you, or you need to respond when we sing in just a moment. That's why I had up there, what sin can be forgiven? What is sin, but what sin can be forgiven? But if that's been done, because you have taken that action which God highlights in Scripture, the doctrine of repentance, I want you to remember this. I want you to look at who God used. And I just highlighted a few, and there were many, many more we could talk about. We could do a whole lesson just on characters that God used for His purposes, for His plan, and used even in the church for great things that had a past. There were some dirty sins here in that list. Look who God used. What is grace? It is that which is unmerited, could never be merited. I could never earn God's grace. It can't be merited. One great definition is unmerited favor. I've received the favor of the Lord, though it wasn't merited. Why? Because I've come into a covenant with Him. I've chosen to come into a covenant with Him. And by the way, the only way that you can enter that covenant is the way He says so. Through my own faith, my own repentance, my own confession, my own baptism in a watery grave in which I rise to walk in a newness of life. If that has not been done, you are not under God's covenant. That's what Scripture teaches. But when I am, I receive God's unmerited favor. So those that are worried about how God forgives sins and kind of looking at their score as if we're trying to earn points, I remind you, if your points are the basis of your salvation, you can quit now. Never darken the door of this place again. Never darken the door of any of God's people again. Never be in the Word again. Never be in prayer again. Turn your life into something that we wouldn't want to see. If the basis of your covenant with God is your merited salvation, you can quit now. You'll never get there. But the reading this morning was from 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 through 10. And all of these things are in those verses. The first one comes from the first verse there, verse 6. We have no fellowship while we're walking in darkness. But if we walk in the light, Scripture says, as He is in the light, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all sin. I want you to know that that, in the Greek language, is written in a tense which means continual action. If I continue to walk in the light, as He is always in the light, in continual action, continual thought, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse over and over and over and over and over. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Believe in the promise of God and believe that God doesn't break His promise. It may be time this morning for you to believe God, not just believe in God. There may be somebody here this morning that has believed in the existence of the Almighty God as a creator, as a sustainer of the universe. But it does not mean that you have been believing God, believing in God. in His being, in His deity, in His power, in His love, in His might. Believing in God, it may be time for you to start actually believing God. And those are two different things. Is there somebody here this morning that will finally believe that God keeps His promises? Is there somebody here this morning that needs to stop worrying about some specific sin if you're in Christ, unless it's in continual action? Is there somebody here this morning that's not in Christ, that's been worried about whether your sins are still okay? They're not. Not a one of them. Well, but mine aren't dirty. Not a one of them. All sin separates man from God. Is there somebody that needs to believe that? That's what Scripture says. There may be somebody here this morning that, as we sing, just needs to believe God. Not believe in God, believe God. And I hope you will.